This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi, I'm Davina from Devon. I've been sober curious for quite a few years. Never really made it stick because, well, everybody drinks alcohol, right? Anyway, I decided to join OTI after listening to the pod and just the enthusiasm from Ben and Shaz shouting about AF life. I'm so glad I joined the community because I'm now nearly 200 days alcohol free. It's an absolute game changer for me. Everybody on the Zooms are lovely. It's just like one great big extended family and we're all just cheering everybody on. I would recommend without hesitation that you join because it's just the best thing I've ever done.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk. Welcome to Over the Influence. If you don't know by now, this is the podcast that sings all about sobriety. Of course, we share the rubbish bits as well, but we like to absolutely bang on, wang on about alcohol-free life and the joys that it can bring. Who knew? Who knew it could be so absolutely glorious? If you are just finding us for the first time, go back. There's more than 100 episodes. In fact, 100 and odd. I think this is series 3, which was the series that started and never ended. I think there's 100 episodes in this series alone. Fill your boots. There's absolutely loads to go at. This podcast is all about the guests. Before we get to today's guest, really looking forward to today's chat as well. A quick reintroduction as to who we are. My name is Sharon Hartley. Everyone calls me Shaz or Shazza, based in Lancashire in the northwest of England. I've just done some counting on my fingers and now I can officially say, Ben, because I think I've been saying this for like 4 months, I am now 4.5 years alcohol free. It's just so good. It never gets any less exciting. People always ask me the question, how much did you drink? How bad did it get? And sometimes I don't think it's overly helpful to answer that because it might mean that somebody's judging their drinking against mine and they might think they're okay. Do you know what I mean? Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it was too much, too fast, too often. I thought I'd take a break from booze, fully expected to get right back on it because life without alcohol would be crap, obviously. Turns out the polar opposite is true. It's absolutely flipping wonderful. I don't sing about sobriety on my own. Ben Anderson, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you. I am Ben. I am 34. I live in Liverpool. I have a son called Leo, who's 5 months. I have a fiance called Jem. And also two soon-to-be stepchildren, Alfie and Millie, because we're getting married in the summer. Can't wait.
Amazing.
We'll be doing that alcohol-free. And speaking of doing things alcohol-free, I just had a weekend with the uni boys, Shaz. We had a uni reunion.
How did that go?
Great. You know, we went for a walk on the Saturday around the old town and kind of past our old houses. And obviously, you know, finished the walk in the pub where I had an Erdinger Zero. Then we went to another pub to watch, I think it was Wales, was it the first game of the Six Nations? And I had a San Miguel Zero. Then we went to another pub for the England game and I had a Heineken Zero Zero. And then we went to another pub and I had a Diet Coke because I was fed up with alcohol-free beer. But you know what? It was so lovely to just kind of be out with the boys, doing what I'd normally do with them. Just the only difference was that my bottle had zeros on it. You know, they were cracking on, doing what they were doing. My bottles had zeros on it. And the reason being that, for me, alcohol may be quite unpredictable, to be perfectly honest. I was a classic binge drinker. I wouldn't drink every day, but when I did go out, I'd binge and, you know, say I'd be out for a couple, end up having a few more on top of that. And sometimes that would be absolutely fine. I'd wake up and the only consequence would be a pretty shitty hangover. Sometimes I'd wake up and think, why did I say that? Why did I do that last night? And I suppose I'm accidentally sober. I didn't mean to go any longer than 3 months. But here I am, 2.5 years in, on a bloody podcast. World's favourite alcohol-free podcast, actually. I think we can say now. I'm really looking forward to speaking to our guest today because we've met his other half.
Well, we have. Business partner. Yes, we have. Yeah. We'll get into that. Not his actual other half. His other half to do with sobriety and the great outdoors and the beautiful mountains and fancy a walk, mate, and all that jazz. So we will get into it. It gives us great pleasure to welcome Dan Parkin to the podcast. When Ben was talking about your other half there, Dan, he was referring to James, who was on the pod back end of last year, talking all about Lunar Mountains, fancy a walk, mate. And we said, you know what? Let's talk to you both separately because I think you've both got loads to share. So welcome to Over the Influence. Dan, how the heck are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me, both of you. It's a real pleasure to be here. I really enjoyed listening back to James's podcast and James was overjoyed. He was filled with loves and wows when he came out, which is really good.
He really was. He was brilliant. Yeah. It was a great chat. Now, we've got loads to talk about. We want to talk about your story, your mental health journey, helping other people, in particular men that want to come along, getting out into the outdoors, all the rest of it. There's one thing that I want to start with, and I was doing a little bit of reading about you, Dan, and I like to snoop your socials and things like that. Your favourite colour is orange.
Orange, yes.
Ben, have you heard this? Ben knocks me. Our OTI colours are orange. And at Christmas, I wanted an orange Christmas jumper. And we've got a load of T-shirts that are not on the website yet that are orange. It's the best colour, Dan. So big up your bad self.
Oh, Dan, we'll send you a free one, mate. If you can get it out of my bloody cupboard for Christmas. And we're not selling these things. They are
definitely.
They are gaudy. They are just in your face. It says festive AF on the front.
And yes.
It's just the brightest orange you've ever.
Yes.
They're truly dreadful.
They are not.
Truly dreadful.
Truly dreadful. It's a fashion statement. And I tell you what, Dan, we will send you one for that reason alone.
Yeah, we can.
Like the colour orange.
I love orange. And there's many reasons I love orange. One reason that I love orange is when we're out in the mountains or out on a walk, I like to be seen. And I think that it's important to be seen as well. Me and James have very similar backgrounds and very similar opinions on stuff. James has been out hiking and been in the mountains a lot longer than I have. But my kind of mountain journey started before I went sober, actually. And I was going up to and Mam Tor is like a real home to me. So anytime I'm feeling low, I tend to head for Mam Tor because I find it quite a calming place for me. And I was going through summer a couple of years ago and everyone's up there in black.
Exactly. Wow.
And I just think,
yeah,
like,
you can't see them. You can't see them when it goes.
If you fall into trouble, yeah, you're really in the SHIT, you know. So yeah, I love orange. I'd love a t-shirt. That'd be amazing.
That's me on the mountain. Honestly, Shaz is there in a bright orange and I'm there in my black trousers, my black hoodie. Over the Influence hoodie, black Over the Influence hat. I might get myself into trouble, but I'll look bloody good.
No, wicked. I'll take one. That'd be amazing.
Brilliant. We'll sort that out. Dan, you are more than 600 days sober, which in itself is an amazing achievement. Absolutely. Brilliant. Really, really well done. Let's find out a bit about you then. What led you to this point?
Like most people, I've never had a good relationship with alcohol at all. And I started drinking in my teens. I'm from a marketing town in Derbyshire. There wasn't a lot to do apart from cause a bit of chaos and go underage drinking and stuff like that. But I used to go to the pub with my mates when I was 14, 15. I've always looked the same. I've never changed. I've got a few more wrinkles now than what I had back then. But I've still got the same hairstyle as well, funnily enough. But but I was able to kind of get in the pubs and the underage and stuff like that. And as I got older and alcohol became more accessible, I was just a lunatic. I had no respect for alcohol at all. I had no respect for the damage that it could do physically, mentally, and the situations that it put me in. And I put myself in some quite shady situations at times. What I found with it growing up was it was my leaning post. So I would use it for a good day. I would use it for a bad day. And when I got to my early 20s, there were certain events and things that happened that I was really questioning what the hell I was doing. And I remember very fondly, I was at a christening at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning and I was in the toilets with the lads and was doing lines of cocaine and hip flasks at 10 in the morning. And it's a kid's christening and I'm thinking, what the hell are we doing here? But I'd kind of abused it so much that it then become the norm. Fast forward a few years later, I met my now fiance. I was living in Essex, working in central London, and my brother passed away. And when my brother passed away, my whole world kind of flipped on its head. I never saw it coming. I didn't understand how I was going to cope with it. And I thought that I was doing really, really good. But from the inside out, I was killing myself. I was drinking to excess every single day. I was drinking in the morning. I was drinking at work. I was quite fortunate, the position that I had at work. I had quite a good job that allowed me to disappear. So I could go in on the lash most days, every single day. And I'd stay steady. It wasn't very often that I'd kind of been it, really. There'd be the odd occasion, which would be once every couple of weeks, where I'd what I'd call can it, where I'd can it and I'd be absolutely, you know, ball bagged. And it'd be rescued by Uber or something like that to then get me home. So when my brother passed away, I went for it. And it was, I don't know, really. I used it as a leaning post, but I was at that point, I was a functioning alcoholic, and I recognised that I was a functioning alcoholic. I didn't know what I wanted to do about it. In my own little world, I was quite happy just getting wrecked every day. I got to a point where I knew that I needed help. I felt physically ill. Mentally, I felt absolutely dreadful. And I put myself in front of a doctor. And the doctor says, Mr. Parkin, thank you for coming in. You know, you've recognised that you've got an issue with alcohol, which is great. But we need to do a drink diary with you. And I went, yeah, okay, fine. I thought, I'll definitely be drinking too much. I don't think I'm that bad. How many units a week? I said, I don't know. So, well, give you this drink diary, go away, do your usual. And when you come back, we'll sort of see on the chart of where you are. I said, yeah, fine. I said, I probably only have about 50 units a week. So I went through, did a normal week's drinking, went and seen the doctor. He said, right, let's tot it up. And he said, wow. He said, you're drinking more than well, I forgot what his exact words were, but he said, your drink to excess is unbelievable. I said, go on. He said, how many units do you think a week? I said about 60. He said, you're doing 300 units a week. It was, like I say, in the morning, throughout the day, then at night. It was, but I held down a full-time job through all this. So I was functioning at that point. I managed to clean my act up a little bit. I reduced my drinking down. It was an improvement. I didn't want to stop drinking. I was one of those that I call it very northern, that I'd be in the pub with the boys and one of the boys would say, oh, I'll have a lemonade. I go, what's the matter with you, lemonade? What's wrong with you? Get a beer down, you man. And my dad became ill, 2018, and it was my partner that encouraged me to move home. And I was dead against it. I was quite happy where I was, what I was doing. At that point, my drinking was increasing again. I was back into the kind of bad relationship with it. And moved back up here, lost my dad very, very quickly from when I moved back, straight back to where I'd come from. So again, drinking in the morning, drinking at work, drinking in the evening. But at this point, the missus had cottoned on to me what my drinking was all about. So I'd then become one of the, I think they identify as like a grey area drinker, where I'd be hiding booze around the house. So when the missus thinks I've only had a bottle of wine, I've had two bottles of wine and probably two or three miniature bottles of wine as well. So I was at nearly three bottles of wine. I would be hiding miniature brandies in my pockets and miniature rums and miniature whiskies and things like that. And then I got to a point where I'm going to walk to work today. I'm going to get the bus in so I could have a beer in the morning. Because first thing I'd do in the morning would be straight with a coffee machine on with a good glug of amaretto in there or something else. I tend to always get up early so I can kind of avoid seeing anyone. I do it now because I like to have an hour in the morning without the chaos of the children. So I kind of got to that point where I knew I had a massive problem. I didn't know what I was going to do about it. I was in a real hole. And then lockdown came along, and lockdown was very bittersweet. I lost my grandmother through that time, who was very fit, able and well-bodied. And she was pretty much the pillar of the family at that point. She'd been through a hell of a lot herself. She'd always kept the family together. You know, she was a real pillar of the family. And the sweeter part that I found of it was I couldn't be asked to go and wrestle with people over toilet roll in Tesco's and what have you like that. So I was doing a beer hawk delivery once a week. So I was doing six cans of beer a week, and I was having, because if you remember, the March was like really hot. It was like an Indian summer, weren't it? So I was getting up, I was going for a run, I was coming home, I was having a bit of shakshuka, I was sitting in the swing chair and I was reading every day, getting paid me 80% by Rishi and Boris and that. And it was great. And if I had my six cans of beer on a Monday, I wouldn't have anything at all that week. I think I did the same as every man and woman. When the pubs opened, I went balmy. Then we got locked up again. We've got put in lockdown again. And then we got released and I went mad again. And there was a very significant event at that point where I'd been out after work with the, well, I'd been out during work. And then again, after work, I'd got out. And where my office is, there's a pub that I can see from my office window that is open now and it's all lit up. It looks really pretty. But I'd been in Bakewell. I got the train from Bakewell to Matlock and then went from Matlock into Belper, around Belper, and then got a cab back to my local pub. And I was absolutely slaughtered. And I don't remember walking home, but I know that I had a skin full of Guinness. I had a few pints of lager. I had a bottle of wine in the pub. And then I bought a bottle of wine home with me. And I hid it behind the plant pot by the front door. And the missus turned around and said, "We're back to square one again. You need to sort yourself out. If not for me, then for her and what I only had my little girl at that point." And she was pregnant. I got the following morning, stinking hangover. And I said, "Okay, I'm going to quit." And she went, "No, I'm not saying you need to quit. I'm saying that, you know, recognise that you've got a problem and that you're going to do something about it. You don't need to quit. Just try and cut back." And I went, "No, I'm going to do it." And she said, "You won't do it. You'll never do it." And I was one of them kind of in the family where it was, "Oh, God, Dan's coming around. I better get some beer in." Because I'd just be on it straight away. And
then I thought, up with your identity.
Yeah, it really was. And it was like, "Oh, fucking hell, Dan and April coming around, I better get some beer in." And we'd argue about who was driving and stuff like that. And all these silly little things you have. And then I went, "Right, that's it. I've got nothing at all to lose. I'm gonna try and go sober. And if I last a month, I last a month." I'd done dry January a couple of times and failed the couple of times that I tried it. Same with Stoptober. And I would last about a week, 2 weeks. And I got a month in and I thought, "I feel really good here. I'm going to keep it up and see if I can get a bit further and a bit further." And then you just forget that you used to drink. And even things like, I was really lucky that I didn't go to AA. I didn't feel like I needed to go to AA. Part of me wish I had gone to AA because I'm really interested in how it works and I'd like to help other people. Other people were getting sober as well. But I just hardballed it. My anxiety when I stopped drinking was heightened so much that I stopped drinking caffeine at the same time and I stopped sugar. I'm back to sugar and I can only drink decaf. I can't have, if I have any full fat normal Coca-Cola, I'm wired for a couple of days. It's quite a scary experience, really. But no, I just thought I'll try it and I'll see how I get on. And I'd got to the point where I completely forgot that I used to drink and I absolutely love it and I champion it massively. I now work with via Fancy Walk, mate, and via my own social media pages. I now communicate and work with quite a few people that are trying to get sober or are sober or have been sober for a while or that are sober curious. And like most people out there, and I think especially men, because there's this real kind of men have to look a certain way, have to be a certain way and have to behave a certain way. And like it or not, there's so much pressure from women as well. But I think there's a hell of a lot of pressure on men. I know that how I used to feel that if you stop drinking, you're going to lose all your mates. But I had nothing to lose at that point. It was, for me, it was like I either risk it or I lose myself. So I dived in feet first, and I've just surpassed 600 days, which is amazing. I never thought I'd get to 6 days, never mind 600. So yeah, I'm chuffed to bits with that.
Incredible when you start seeing those zeros on the end of stuff, isn't it? You go, blimey. And like we always say, the first target, if someone's doing this, first target 100 days, and you get to 100 days, you go, bloody hell, century. I've been doing this every day consecutively for 100 bloody days. There's zeros. That's nuts.
What I tried to do, and I'd encourage anyone that's going sober and that's on that sober journey, is treat every milestone like a birthday. And what I've done throughout my milestones is when I know I've got a milestone coming up, I will do something for me, which probably sounds quite selfish, but I think it's such an achievement for me that I make sure I do something special. So for
celebrate the little wins is so important, isn't it?
I think it's more important to voice and celebrate your small wins as it is to open up and say, I'm going for a rough time. I'm feeling crap. Day 600, I was with James, which was amazing. We went for some food and we did an interview on Radio Derby, which is wicked. 500 days, I climbed Scaffold Pike in the Lake District.
Oh, that's interesting. That's so good because when I got to 6 months, talking of the little wins and stuff, I very much like you, Daniel, I wanted to celebrate those milestones. And the one scariest thing I'd never done is Hell Valley on my own. I'd always done it with a guide. And so I thought, right, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to check the weather and make sure it's okay. And I've got my orange coat, not my black one, because you can be seen if you fall off. Thank you. Dan gets it. And I went to the top of Helvellyn by myself and I raced up to the top, touched the top, nearly had a panic attack thinking I'm here by myself and came down. But that sense of achievement was epic. And then on my 1,000 days, my two lads came to the top with me and James's girlfriend, which was just... It was just ace, but I think it is so important, isn't it, to celebrate yourself and to go, flipping heck, I'm doing something here that's really, really tough.
Sobriety, I think, can you remember the old booze adverts that you used to have for like Guinness and like the Carlin, when Carlin was really popular before we started getting all these premium brand lagers and stuff like that, and you used to have these adverts with the big slogans. They should do that for sobriety. And what they should do, I think, with sobriety is sobriety, delivering everything that alcohol promised. Because my life, I've done more in my personal life and I've achieved more in the last 15 to 18 months than what I have in the last 15 to 18 years. Like you say, hiking and climbing has been amazing. It's been a real help to me because it's given me, I feel like by stopping drinking that I've had a second lease of life. Because and I laugh and I joke and me and James will be on a fancy walk, mate, and I'll always go and I always look at the watch and it's 10 o'clock and I go, come on then, 10 o'clock, where would you have been 2 years ago? And we'd both go, probably chalking shit in someone's kitchen somewhere that we've never met before. We met him on a random night out. So I play in a band as well. I play guitar in a band, and one of my other sober anniversaries walked into a really strange guitar shop that's got no signs up in Matlock at all. And I just stumbled in there and I went, oh, just having a browse. And the guy in there was sober, funnily enough, and was chin wagging away. And he said, what are you in here for? I said, just a present for myself. And he went, oh, I've got a 90s tube screamer. He said, I've got a receipt. I ain't got a box. Are you interested? And I went, oh, God, yeah, 100%, you know. And it's things like that that, again, you know, you can kind of use these achievements. I have like... I don't know where it is, actually. I think it's in, I've got it here. I've got a little notebook that I carry around with me everywhere, pretty much. And in the back of my notebook, I put in there all my small achievements and all of my points of gratitude. And I use it as an SOS diary. So if I'm feeling really crabby and a bit crap, I'll just go to the back of the book and I'll go through and I'll find my achievement and then the key date. And it really helps with how far that you've come, as well as being on your sober journey, but whether you're when you're sober, but on your healing journey and the sort of stuff that you've picked up and you've learned along the way, it's absolutely massive. I can go from 0 to 10 in a couple of minutes just by reading my SOS.
We're just going to take a really quick break from this episode with Dan. Fancy a walk, mate. I do love what they do. They're all over social media, as are we. We'll give them a good old plug at the end of this episode. Talking of social media, at the moment, we are ramping it up, particularly across our Instagram. We've set Charlie, our social media content creator, a task, and we want to get it above 10,000 followers on Instagram. Ben, why did I just hear you chuckle then?
Sorry. So, behind the curtain, we're going to let you in on the production secrets behind Over the Influence. We record the main episode on a Tuesday night, but me and Shaz get together later in the week once we've done the edit to do these kind of little middle bits, the drop-in. So it's currently Saturday morning. The reason I'm laughing is because when you were talking about the socials then, Leo did a big goo because it's Saturday morning. I haven't turned my camera on because I've got the baby on my lap. And also, okay, I'll just do it. My skin is so bad at the moment that I'm covered. Here you go, camera's coming on. Morning, Shaz. I've got a baby on my lap and cream all over my face.
Right, hang on a minute.
What a mess. What an absolute mess.
You know what? This is Over the Influence in a bloody nutshell. It's just taken us about 15 minutes to get this call actually going and to get the recording going for this, because I still, after 3 years, I'm just technically inept. And Ben has just...
Press this button, Shaz, and now this button. I can't see it. I don't know what I'm doing. It's okay. Don't need to panic. It's Saturday morning. We're not in a rush.
But hang on a minute. Forget all that. I mean, first of all, let's just focus on baby Leo. Look at him there.
He's a lovely boy.
Ben, he's the cutest Leo the lion I ever did see. Look,
it's Auntie Shaz.
He's got some chubby cheeks there. Enjoying his milk.
Yeah, he's such a happy baby, you know. And he's doing really well. The physio came yesterday and said he's doing really well. He's actually tracking with typical babies at the moment in terms of his development, which is amazing. Anyway, that's a sidetrack.
So good. Can I just say, it looks like that you have had a fight with a tub of Sudocrem from Leo's baby basket and the cream
won. Exactly what's happened. Yeah, that's exactly what happened. Anyway. You know what, actually, well, just before we go back to what we actually want to talk about, which is our social media, if in the rest of this episode you hear some kind of funny noises in the background when Dan's talking... Dan is a dad as well. We talk about that. But I was editing the podcast going, it's one of Leo's toys. Like, is it dropped down by my desk somewhere? And it's just going, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Then I realised, no, it was nothing to do with me. It's Dan.
Oh,
obviously,
is it?
He's in the room. I managed to edit out his dog early on.
Brilliant.
But then I think his baby, I think, or at least a toy has been left on because he's got his headphones on listening to us. He can't hear us. So if you hear a little kind of do-do-do-do-do-do, you're not going mad in the second half of this episode. Right. Social media.
Let's get our Insta followers over 10K. We've set ourselves a bit of a task, haven't we?
Yeah. At Alcohol Free Pod. I mean, really ramping up the content. Charlie's doing a fabulous job doing all sorts of different stuff, kind of inspirational posts, the videos and all that. And obviously, you're still manning the DMs, aren't you, Shaz?
Yes, absolutely. All over the DMs. Anybody that gets in touch will get a reply. Sometimes I will say, if it's with regard to the podcast, you know, drop us an email, because I like to keep all my podcast info in one place, which is OTIHQ at overtheinfluence.co.uk. Or you can email me privately, not a problem. Sharon@overtheinfluence.co.uk. We get so many amazing DMs, and quite often, Ben, it's from people just going, love the pod. I am now day like 60. I'm now day 6. I'm now month 6. And it's because they found the podcast. They've listened to it on repeat. And as well, like you say,
all over my neck. I've literally just put my Over the Influence hoodie on out the wash, and it's everywhere.
God.
Right, you do the end of this, and I'll be back.
This is an absolute shambles. But it's not a shambles, though, is it? It's actual real life. So on this camera now, I could just... Oh, poor Ben. He has actually gone now. So this is just me. So as we were saying, have a look at our socials. You can find us on Facebook. Just search for Over the Influence. On Instagram, we are at Alcohol Free Pod. But if you do stick in Over the Influence, you will find us again. We're at something like 9.3K followers. We want to get it over 10. We want more and more people to follow our stories, read our content, share our content, and maybe, just maybe, have a little dabble at Alcohol Free Life. If you want any further info about what we do within the community, it's all online, overtheinfluence.co.uk. Let's get back to the episode.
Can we go back to the kind of backstory again? There were two things that stood out that were... It was quite shocking that you said, Dan, you know, in terms of the first one was the 10 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning, christening, lines of coke in the toilet. Not just you, he said we. You weren't the only one doing this. That's quite shocking. And the other thing that's shocking is the 300 units. And I think we should say at this point, you know, if you're drinking that amount of alcohol, don't just stop. You know, you need to go and see your doctor as a first point, because that can be absolutely fatal in terms of stopping it. Because if you're physically dependent on alcohol and then you remove it, it can be fatal, especially when you're drinking that amount. I mean, it's shocking when you look back on it now, but it probably wasn't at the time, Dan. Can I ask you about the units thing? Because what you said is that basically you were drinking five times as much as you thought you were. Was that denial or was it just naivety? Did you just not know that you were drinking basically 100 strong pints a week?
Yeah, it was naivety, I think. I would drink 10 to 15 pints of Guinness a day, plus wine, plus gin, plus rum. And I'd make an excuse to work the weekend because I knew that I could work the weekend going to work, and by 9 o'clock I could be in a pub somewhere in London. Because pubs in London, for those that don't know or haven't visited London, most pubs will open up somewhere between 7 and 9 in the morning. They're pubs that are 24 hours, so a lot of the Wetherspoons that are dotted around will be open and serve 24 hours a day, which is really, really scary.
I mean, the fact that you were drinking that much alcohol, but and you genuinely, this is just, it just hadn't kind of registered what the units might be. What do you think we should do as a society then? How could we have let you know the amount you're drinking could actually be fatal?
I think it starts at home. And I mean at home in the sense that at home, where, like you say, accessibility to alcohol. I can remember, again, when I was younger, that we'd skip school and go boozing around as mates' houses because mum and dad had got loads of boozing and stuff like that. But we didn't know what we were doing. And I think that there needs to be more education in schools and colleges about alcohol and about the effects and about what it can do to your body physically, i.e. that it makes you fall over and makes you make a bit of a twat of yourself. But I think in the condition as well, what it can do to your internals and to your health and what the longer lasting effects and stuff like that are. Again, I think the government have got a hell of a lot to do. They've got some serious legwork to do, because I think that alcohol is a massive, massive problem now. And I think that the accessibility, one, is a problem. I think addiction's a problem. And I think also how it's managed with addiction. I've only just started using TikTok, and I'm quite mindful of social media because there's a lot of rubbish on that. But there's someone that was on there the other day that just by browsing, and it's obviously the algorithm for the kind of stuff that I'm looking for, and there's a lady on there and she wants to get into a rehab facility, and it's 10 grand to stick her in for a month. 10,000 quid, which is, does it really cost 10 grand? You know, and she's young. I'm not, you know, I'm by any stretch, I'm not an old fogey, you know, but she's in her early 20s and wants to get in, but she wants help. She wants to sort of clear herself up and tidy herself up. And she's got to fund it privately. She can't get it on the NHS.
It's
which I just find absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's really difficult. Like you said, there's an awful lot of work to be done. Ben picked up on, he used the word shocking about the amount of alcohol that you were consuming and the way you were doing it, you know, on a weekend and a Sunday morning. Like at the time, you do, you know, oh, this is completely normal. Take yourself out of it. It's absolutely not normal. What I found really shocking hearing from you, Dan, was the loss that you've experienced as a young man. I mean, I bet you're not even 40 yet. You've talked about the loss of your brother, your dad, your grandmother. That's a short space of time. The impact must have been, well, horrendous upon you.
I lost my dad, I lost my granddad, my brother and my dad in 3 years.
That's a lot for a young man to deal with, for anybody to deal with, but you as a young man.
And again, I think it's influence, isn't it? And, you know, I had nobody influence. At that point, I had no father figure or male figure in my life that could have spoke any sense to me. I had no one to really stop me and give me a pep talk because there was no one that I would listen to at that point. There was no male figure in my life that go, look, come on, lad, calm down a bit, you know, sort of look after yourself. There's these repercussions. I didn't have that. The other thing going flipping right backwards when we talk about influence over alcohol as well, alcohol-free beers now, I know that Ben, you touched on it a little bit earlier. Some of the alcohol-free beers out there are wicked and they're a lot more available. And I think that's good because the market's changing massively on that, not just in the UK. A friend of mine went to Crete recently and was sending me photos of all the alcohol-free beer choices that they've got over there. And that's amazing to see. You know, that's wicked to see how the market's evolving. So I think that'll help. But, you know, I think that there's got to be almost a ban on alcohol.
It's big.
I do. But, you know, like the bottomless brunches and stuff like that.
Oh, can I just jump in and say I am so, so relieved and so glad that bottomless brunches became a thing. And I think a lot of it is for social media myself. But anyway, came a thing after I'd stopped drinking. If a bottomless brunch was a thing in my drinking days, I probably wouldn't be on this podcast to tell the story. And that's all I want to say on the matter. Thank you, Dan.
the missus said to me the other day, I mean, my missus don't really drink at all. She every now and again, she will do. She's quite happy and she's quite comfortable with. She's never been someone that drinks to excess. We were talking about bottomless brunches the other day and she said, oh, God, can you imagine if they were a thing when you were drinking? And I was like, no. Not at all. That would have been a real mess, that would. Because I wouldn't have been able to stop. I had no trigger that went, right, come on, enough's enough, get yourself home now. It was all or nothing, you know.
We've got a community member watching this call, watching this recording. I won't say his name. I won't kind of, you know, out him publicly. But let's call him G. And how can I kind of hide his identity, Sharon? Huge Manchester United fan. Loves Eric Ten Hag. There you go. I've covered that up, haven't I? Loves Man U. Up the Reds.
In such trouble for this later. Really are.
But we've seen him change, haven't we, Shaz? As being a part of the community. The reason that I bring him up is because he came on, he listened to the first podcast that we did with Fancy Walk, mate, with James, and he came on one or maybe a couple of your walks now. So you'll know him as well. And, you know, hopefully, I'm not sure how many walks he's been on, but, you know, we've seen this man completely change. And he's always posting in the forum. Lots of people are saying the same things. Recently celebrated a big milestone. Again, I won't give it away because I don't want to be able to, huge Man United fan. but, you know, for him, he is now, I know that because he's told us on our Zoom calls and everything else that, first of all, his relationship has changed as a result of him removing alcohol. But now his kids are seeing an alcohol-free dad. I know that you've got kids, 5-year-old and, did you say, a 2-year-old as well that you've got before we started recording? Yeah. Currently potty training. Sounds horrendous.
It's good fun.
I remember the days a long time ago.
The reason I bring him up, he's a kind of common link between us, and he's a bloke who's decided to remove alcohol. What is it about working with men in particular that is something that you're really interested in doing with things like Fancy Walk, mate?
Men have a real pressure on the shoulders that they have to behave a certain way, that they have to present themselves a certain way, that they have to look a certain way. And I think more so now, social media is an amazing tool if used correctly. And I did a vote a couple of weeks ago on my Instagram of, so are you doing social media? Is social media doing you? Would you share your screen time? And I was amazed that there's someone that I know, again, I will not mention any names because they will hopefully listen to the podcast, but they spend 8.5 hours a day on their screen time. So I said, how much sleep do you get at night? He went, probably 6 hours. I said, so you spend more time on your phone than what you do with sleep. How amazing is that? How worrying is that? And I was like, why? And he went, well, you know, Instagram, Facebook, and then this, that, TikTok. And I was like, what do you look at for that amount of time, you know? And there is this very much kind of, a lot of men want to be an Andrew Tate. and thinks that for them to be a man, they have to behave that way. They have to have a really nice car. They have to have a really nice watch. They have to have a supermodel girlfriend. They have to have all these amazing things around them. They have to have big muscles and a tan. And excuse my French, it's all bullshit. It is rubbish, absolute rubbish. And I think that the big thing now is that men, because there's that much pressure on them, that they do not feel like they have anyone to talk to at all. And I did a video earlier on, which I'm going to post later, about isolation and the feeling of isolation and how you can kind of break out of that. And I spoke a lot in that about community groups and podcasting and not feeling like you're on your own, you know, and sort of hoping to help people open up. There's loads out there. There's loads of opportunity. There's loads of community groups near where I live, and they're not all focused on sobriety and mental health. They're just meeting people, you know, come and have a talk, come and open up for like-minded people. But men just have a, whether it's a voice in the head or a niggle, that they don't want to share their problems. They don't want to talk about it because they think that they'll be demasculinated, if that's even a word, just by going, feel a bit shit today, that people look at them and go, he's a pussy, what's the matter with him? What's wrong with him? Man up.
That's the bit, isn't it? Because a lot of the things that you described, you know, it's not saying that women don't have these pressures. You know, women, it's exactly the same with social media, for example, that pressure to look a certain way. I think, you know, women have also got this pressure at the moment, and a big conversation that is, I'm really glad it's being had, is that, you know, the idea that women can do everything and actually, you know, they can be the superstar mom, they can be the superstar career woman, they can do this, the pressure to kind of perform every single role absolutely perfectly. But I think the crucial difference is what you just said there about men feeling as if it's a weakness to talk about it, being scared to be vulnerable, essentially.
At Fancy a Walk, mate, we embrace opening up. You know, the idea for me, even so, the idea of meeting a load of men and a load of geezers in a car park in the Peak District at 8 o'clock in the morning and jumping out your car and giving them all a hug was a bit seedy. Now I look forward to it. I can't wait. There's a guy called, we've got a few Steves, and one Steve, I call him Steve Bear. And he's about 6'6" and built like a barn door. And I love him. He's great. Jump out of your car, run up to him and biggest hug that I can give him, you know.
There should be more.
And why
of this.
Shouldn't we?
I just feel so passionate about it. We say this a lot within our community, that the opposite of addiction is connection. And once you find your people, once you find somewhere where you can be yourself, no one's going to judge you or call you a boring dick for not drinking, for not taking drugs, whatever it might be. Once that happens, it's an absolute game changer. And I think in particular, what you're doing with James, for young men or old men, doesn't matter the flipping age, for men in general, it's life-changing. It's so good. Ben referred to, I'll call him a Man United fan. Sorry, I'm trying to protect you and I'm just going down the same route Ben did. We've seen, this is just one community member, you know, a young man like yourself, his life is changing before our eyes and it's utterly, butterly glorious to witness.
And he won't mind me saying, because we protected his identity so well, it's because he's reached out. And it's the hardest thing to do, is to kind of to reach out initially and to be vulnerable. But that has been the key. It absolutely has been the key. And we see it time and time again.
What I found with Fancy a Walk, mate, in the length of time that I've been involved, I was someone that reached out. Like a lot of people that go, my missus found it and said, you need to go on this group. And I went, oh, I don't know, I'm really bouncy, you know, I don't drink, they're going to think I'm a bit of a weirdo because I'm bouncing around like Tigger all the time. And I went, I don't know if it's for me. And she went, look, if you don't go, then pack your stuff and out. And I went, I'll go. And I loved it. And I found that I had a real connection with James there and a lot of the guys. And we're all normal people. None of us are running around with crowns on and capes on his back. But what I've found in the past few months is the difference in age. Our eldest member I would put at probably 68. And our youngest member that's been on a walk, I would put him, I think he's 18. And he was really worried. And he was really worried. And he put a he put a post in the Facebook group, like an anonymous post, and said, like, I don't know if it's for me, I want to come, but I'm not quite there yet. And the amount of people that went, no, you must come, you know, open up. And it was amazing to see that. And he came on a walk, he came on the last walk where we did Lathkill Dale, which was great. And I think bit by bit, we are starting to kind of break this stigma and open the opportunity up for more men to do that. And there should be more of it, but there are, you know, there are these opportunities out there if men take them up. And that's the art, and that's the hardest thing is, you know, is getting the horse to drink, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's so good what you're doing. It's absolutely brilliant. It's been ace to talk about you. Dan, we're just about out of time. So before you go, first of all, thank you for joining us on the pod. Thank you for doing what you're doing, you and James. Fancy Walk, mate. It is such a good thing. And what I'm loving, and me and Ben both said this, is that, you know, our community members are getting in touch and they're coming on a walk, and it's everybody's doing it together, which is absolutely marvellous. Before you go, Dan, please give it a good old plug. If anybody wants to get involved in what you do with James at Fancy Walk, mate, where can they find all the info?
Information for all the walks and all the events you can find. We've got a Facebook group and an Instagram group as well. They are both at Fancy Walk, mate. We've started doing a digital attendance system through Eventbrite. We walk once a month. The Facebook group is a closed group, so that as well you can engage with the other members and stuff on there, and just come and be open, come and be our mate. We've got our own version of mate, which is meet, adventure, talk and evolve, and that's pretty much what Fancy Walk Mate's all about. It's all about meeting up in a car park, giving each other a big cuddle in the morning at 8 o'clock in the Peak District somewhere, or we are actually starting to go further afield as well. So we are going and doing some big boy mountains, so, you know, come along and find us there. We want to adventure with people. We want to get new people involved. We want to get more men involved. We want to eventually, myself and James would like to take this further and take it into the workplace, so we can talk a little bit more about, you know, about depression, about anxiety, about mental health, about our addictions as well, and about how we overcome them and what our story is and what's led us to where we are today.
Daniel, you're an absolute superstar. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much to this week's guest, the lovely Dan. Fancy a Walk, mate. It's brilliant what they do. Find them on social media. And if you'd like us to put you in touch with the group, just ping us an email, otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk. If only you could see what I could see right now, dear listener. It's Ben no longer in his Over the Influence hoodie because Leo spewed all over it. Leo also spewed on his joggers as well. And Ben has got a forehead full of what looks like Sudocreme, tackling his teenage skin at the moment. Ben, are you okay?
I'll tell you what,
are you all right?
You know, yeah, I'm having a bit of a chaotic morning. Are we getting this wrong, Sharon?
Well,
you know,
we've got
this podcast. It's the world's favourite alcohol-free podcast. You know, downloaded thousands of times a day. Shouldn't we be trying to be, like, you know, glamorous and glitzy? And look at us, we're podcast hosts. You know, and instead, I'm sitting here covered in sick and pseudocreme.
You are,
and I feel like we're not doing the whole podcast host thing right.
No,
I feel,
you know,
like
what?
We need to be.
We are doing the whole podcast hosting right. It's about honesty. It's about lifting the curtain. It's about real life, you know, sharing the shit bits too. This isn't glossy. Over the Influence is never going to be glossy. We use this word a lot in the community and on the premium pod. Ben, we're a little bit grubby. A little bit grubby around the edges.
Yeah.
I can smell you from here, by the way.
Yeah. If you want to follow us on our social media, that would be really great. I'm just thinking, when you said glossy then, I'm thinking about my Instagram, @BenAnderson_88. Oh, yeah. And I think we all do a bit of the kind of glossy thing on Instagram, don't we? Like, if you want to see lots of pictures of Leo, you can go there to my glossy Instagram.
And why wouldn't you?
This is where we're grubby and real on the podcast. Sharon, go on, give yours a plug. You've lots of underscores in yours,
what,
isn't
am
it?
I,
underscore
am I?
Sharon underscore Hartley underscore. No.
Hang on a minute. I think Sharon, I am.
You know,
I don't even know.
Right, this is what I mean. We should be slick and professional and glossy, and you don't even know your Instagram
name. Just wait. Hang on, let me just go onto my own Instagram. I don't even...
I think you're Sharon_Hartley_.
I think you might be.
I think.
You see, I can't... because I'm such a numpty. Here we go. Sharon... I am at Sharon_Hartley_.
You know, you've got 1,779. You've got like nearly 2,000 followers. You need to start
I don't know why.
Using this more.
I need to start posting. I ain't got time. I've not got time. At Sharon_Hartley_.
Oh, you've done yours twice now. At Ben_88.
Yeah.
At Ben Anderson.
I was born in 88. Get me for being like young and not even 40 yet.
At Ben Anderson was taken. What am I supposed to do? I don't know what I was. At Ben Anderson Media. No, because obviously, as we've been discussing, we are not typical.
No, we're a little bit crap. My brother's email address used to be. I think it was nutdick1@hotmail.com.
Pardon?
Then he got a proper job and he had to change it. It will never not make me laugh.
Yeah. Right. Oh, follow us at Alcohol Free Pod. That's what we wanted to say today in our middle and end bits.
Yeah.
We record on a Saturday morning because we don't want to subject our guests to this level of nonsense.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I'm so glad nobody's
just sorry,
actually
sorry, Dan.
This.
Just hold it there for a sec. We're just going to do our middle bit. It'd be like, they'd log off.
Yeah, they
I'm not coming back on this.
Ben, I think you need to go and take another shower.
I think so.
Look at the state. As always, it's been a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for tolerating our nonsense. Thank you for listening. We really, really do appreciate it. And I know Ben, you know, says we should be glossy. We're never going to be glossy. This is it. This is me, in the words of that song off of The Greatest Showman, Ben. This is it. This is as good as it gets. And you know what? Bloody love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. The day you turn up looking glossy, I'll leave. Although I'm starting to dry heave a little bit. You're making me wretch with the baby sick. Same time next week. If you want any more info about what we do, please do just ping us an email, otihq@overtheinfluence.co.uk, or just have a look at the website, overtheinfluence.co.uk. And before you go, please do give us a follow on Instagram @alcoholfreepod. Thank you.